Well, folks, earlier last week, news broke that Trump was apparently naming Nick Saban to be the co-chair of his Commission on College Sports. What does that mean? What will Nick Saban be able to do? How much influence will he have on this new world of NIL and college sports and college football in particular? Yeah, there's been a lot of cries that Nick Saban should just become the commissioner of college football, and hopefully he can get a handle on things and how things have spiraled out of control with NIL and this new landscape of college sports as a whole. So what will this new position exactly do, and how can Nick Saban actually influence what he can, you know, influence the new world of college football? We're going to get into that into this video, folks. But first, if you please like and subscribe down below, I'd greatly appreciate that. Also, follow me on X. It's in the description. I'd greatly appreciate that as well. But let's get into this video, folks. So, yes, like I said, Nick Saban was named co-chair of the Commission on College Sports that Trump is enacting. Now, Trump was in Alabama last week, or 2 weeks ago, I believe, actually, giving the commencement speech at the University of Alabama, where Nick Saban actually introduced Trump to the arena. And apparently, Saban met with Trump while they were there together to talk about this mess that is NIL and college football. There's been a lot of suggestions that maybe Trump should issue an executive order, do something executively, because it's going to be hard to get Congress to pass something, bipartisan to get something done with NIL, because the Democrats are just going to want a union for college football players and college athletes as a whole. And that's going to be a mess. I mean, we're already entering the era of revenue sharing this upcoming season with college athletes. So who knows if that will bring upon a union, because athletes are technically employees of the school at that point. But that aside, people have been wanting Donald Trump to do something with an executive order to bypass, Congress, to get something done, because we got to get a hold on what's going on in college football. It's spiraling so fast, people's heads are spinning, and the NCAA has not been able to lead from the front on this issue. Surprise, surprise, they're not able to lead from the front on anything. But Trump apparently met with Saban, and maybe Saban, urged him to do something executively. At the very least, they had a discussion about NIL and college football. And Trump, very much respects what Saban's done as a college football coach. So whatever Saban's going to say, Trump is going to listen. And Trump is someone who very much cares about college sports and sports in general. I mean, he's made several trips to college football games, national championship games for college football. So he cares about sports and the world of college football. And he doesn't want to see it get turned into something that's a mess. I mean, that's just a bad look for everybody involved and everybody in the country who cares about college football. So it appears that after that meeting, Trump then put in place this commission on college sports and put Saban as the co-chair at that position. Now, what exactly can Saban do at this position? It's kind of unclear already. I kind of liken this to the ambassadors to Hollywood that DC has, like Mel Gibson, Sylvester Stallone, those guys that can maybe influence somewhat in the Hollywood world because Trump can speak through them. Through the Hollywood world, at the very least, it sends a message that, look, these guys, they're able to report to Trump. Trump is listening to them, and it gives them sort of an influence of, I've been kind of in place here on behalf of DC to make sure this, and this doesn't happen. Even if it's not something, firm and tangible, it at least sends a message. And hopefully that can then kickstart things to, with their influence to be able to influence things. This could be the same way with Nick Saban. I don't know how much, rule authority he's going to have to be able to change things, tangibly. But at the very least, he's got Trump's ear, and Trump can then do something, after that when Nick Saban or whoever else is on this committee, I assume it'll be a bunch of former football coaches with respect on their name, that they can then report to Trump on things that they want to be fixed. And hopefully Trump can do executive orders, can lean on Congress to do something. So I think at the very least, it opens up a doorway so Trump and Saban can have direct communication, and Trump is able to Saban's able to have Trump's ear on things and can then influence things to be done. Now, what can be done? Something tangible needs to be done, like executive orders. Hopefully, Congress can pass some laws, but I don't know how much hope I have for that. I think at the very least, some executive orders can be put into play. But what exactly needs to be done? What are some tangible things that I would like to see done by Trump, by Congress, whoever, that can hopefully help this mess that NIL has started? Number one thing I would like to be done, something has to be put in place for players to honor their contracts. Now, if it's a situation where only one-year contracts can be signed, then I'm okay with that. Because, to be honest, folks, that's kind of where we are already. It really is one-year contracts at this point. Look at Nico Imaliava. He signed a four-year contract to go to Tennessee out of high school, but yet he just wants to be done with Tennessee because he thought he could make more money elsewhere. Well, he didn't. He actually made a lot less money on a worse program. But anyways, he was able to just say, you know, I'm done with this contract. I want to move on. And he was able to do that with no repercussions. You know, Tennessee may be able to sue him eventually, but as of now, no repercussions. He's able to do whatever he wants. He can just leave his contract whenever he wants. I would like to have one-year contracts be the maximum that you could have for NIL. And then after every season, if you want to renegotiate, fine. If you want to go somewhere else, fine. But if we're going to have these four-year contracts, something needs to be put in place for players to honor that. I'm not so sure exactly what that could be. You know, maybe it's you can't accept NIL money over this amount if you leave your, you know, contract at a school if you leave before the term was up, or you know, something put in place that you can sign a 4-year contract, but you're able to renegotiate after this point. And if you're not able to come to a deal at that point, then you know you're taking a fine if you go somewhere else. Something. Either have 1-year contracts, which I think is the best option, or put something in place that punishes the player from leaving the program if they leave after their before their contract is up. Because at this point, schools are being put in a horrible spot because they commit to these players long term, and more importantly, they know what their NIL situation is with the contracts that they have. So if a player then leaves, then they're kind of in a position where they're stuck because they could have gone after more players with the NIL money that they now have after that player left, but they didn't know he was going to leave. So now they're stuck in a no-win situation, but yet the player can just go whenever he wants and go make more money elsewhere. It's a mess, and I think that is what's contributing a lot to this this college football world and the new landscape of NIL and the just disaster it's become. I think that's contributing a lot to it. Number two, I think you should be of a certain age before you commit to anything NIL-wise. Now, certain state laws have it to where you can't sign contracts without parents' consent, if you're 18 or whatever, but something needs to be done federally because we've already saw in the state of Alabama that lawmakers are now flirting with having NIL contracts for high school athletes, and that will open Pandora's box completely. But I think something needs to be done, a rule needs to be set across the board, nationwide, that colleges aren't able to offer NIL contracts to kids of a certain age. I think that's an easy, you know, low-hanging fruit rule to make because if you're 16 and a school comes and offers you, you know, $1 million, you're not of the age to make a smart decision on that. And you're just going to, a lot of people should argue that he should just sign the dotted line because that's life-changing money at 16. However, there's a lot of other stipulations in there that the kid may not be able to, you know, be aware of, and parents may not even be aware of it because they just see $1 million and they don't care about any stipulations. They just sign on the dotted line. I think there just needs to be a rule that you're not able to sign any NIL contracts 18 or older. And I think that would help stop the pay-for-play scenario because when kids are going to school at that point, they don't know what NIL they're being offered. They're just going to the school to go to the school. Now, they may be aware that they're going to be offered NIL at some point, but that's not the driving factor of why they're going to that school. The NIL could come later, but I think that may help kids going to school for the right reason and not just going for the money, because then that will lower the chances that maybe they go somewhere else because of money, because they went to that school because they love that school. I'm being optimistic that would help it. I mean, I'm sure there'll be loopholes around that, but I think that would help at least, you know, stop this pay-for-play scenario going on. And then, you know, folks, number three, I would like to see the collectives be ranked in somehow because we're seeing these states like Texas where they have massive oil money. They're having a lot bigger advantage over, you know, places like Alabama or Georgia where they don't necessarily have as much money and the rich are just kind of getting richer at this point. And the collectives have just become a pay-for-play scenario. I would like to see collectives just be done with altogether because I think they alone have twisted NIL into something where it was not meant to be. I would love for NIL just to be simply players making money off of advertisements, commercials being in video games, making money off their name, image, and likeness, which is what NIL stands for, NIL does not mean pay for play. That's just what it's become. It's become like NFL free agency, where collectives can come in and offer you money just to come to the school. I would love to see collectives just go away. I would love to see collectives just go away, and kids just can just make money from corporations to do commercials like Dr. Pepper, State Farm, you know, whatever, to do commercials for, you know, during their games. I think that is what NIL should be limited to strictly. Unfortunately, I think we're kind of at a point where that's long, you know, it's far gone. It's dead, buried, and gone at this point, because NIL has just been twisted so far and gone too far down the rabbit hole. I'm starting to wonder if there's any point of turning back right now. However, in this world where, you know, I'm able to say, you know, what I want done, I would love to see collectives just be done with altogether and make it strictly name, image, and likeness, making money on commercials, advertisements because of your, you know, who you are. I think that's what NIL should be limited to, because, to be honest, folks, that's what NIL was intended to be in the first place. But the NCAA has been not leading from the front on this, and it got out of control without them to be able to, you know, stop it. And, you know, they're playing from behind right now, and they have no way to actually limit it or regulate it. So that's why I think President Trump needs to do something executive order-wise to, you know, start something to help fix this mess. And to be honest with us, I think this Commission on College Sports is a great start with putting Saban at the co-chair of it, because that gives a direct line of communication between Saban and Trump on things. If Saban sees something that he thinks needs to be fixed, then Trump is able to fix it. I've seen a lot of people criticizing Saban, though, because they're making the argument that he's trying to reverse the system back to what made him successful, where he was able to be the most successful because the playing field wasn't even. I think that's a little bit ridiculous, folks, because I'll tell you why. If you want to make the argument that Saban was paying players and nobody else was paying players and he had a direct advantage over that, that seems just kind of silly to me, because if you're trying to argue that Saban at Alabama was able to pay players under the table and nobody else was able to pay players under the table at all, first of all, you have no way of proving that that was even happening in the first place. I understand that you're skeptic and you're believing that it was happening. And to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if some payments under the table were made, you know, throughout Saban's tenure at Alabama, and not just at Alabama, but anywhere in college football over the last, you know, 15, 20 years before NIL was a thing. I'm not stupid or naive enough to think that that wasn't happening to some degree. However, if you're going to argue that Saban would have been the only one doing that at Alabama, I think you're completely mistaken, okay? Everybody was doing that. If one school was doing that, everybody was doing that. Now, you know, some schools who are more successful may have had, you know, more people willing to do illegal stuff because they wanted to win more. But the bottom line is, Alabama wasn't the only team that won national championships during his tenure at Alabama. I mean, look at Jameis Winston at Florida State. You know, that team, if you want to talk about somebody that I'll look at and go, if there was a player that may have made some money, you know, under the table, he may have been one of them. And then obviously there was the Cam Newton scandal at Auburn. There's, you know, folks, this was not a Nick Saban at Alabama thing, okay? So I don't understand the argument that, first of all, he's out of coaching. He's not even coaching anymore. He has nothing to win from reversing NIL back to what it should be. He has nothing to gain from that. He's not coaching at Alabama anymore. He's just an outsider at this point, and he cares about college football and college sports, and that's what he wants to get fixed. So I don't understand what he would have to gain if you're trying to argue that he's trying to reverse the system back to what made him successful. What would he have to gain from doing that? He's not in coaching anymore. So that argument seems silly to me. And if you're going to argue that he had some leg up because he was savvy enough to know how to cheat the system, you have no proof of that. And it's just a silly argument, in my opinion. So from what I'm seeing right now, Saban is doing this because he cares about college sports, and he genuinely feels that he has the power and ability to do something about it, you know, through President Trump or whoever. I don't understand what he would have to gain from, you know, changing the system back to what he was when he won his national championship. Like, he's not in coaching anymore. I don't understand what he would have to gain for that. He's got a perfect gig at ESPN where he's making tons of money doing College Game Day. He didn't even need to get in this mess and try to, you know, fix things. That seems like a lot more on his plate than he, you know, could have. He could just say, you know, peace. That's not my problem anymore. I'm going to go do my thing at ESPN and make money. But he's choosing to add this to his plate and get involved and all the stress that's involved with that to try to fix things. So that, you know, if you want to talk about Saban's intentions here, I don't understand how they could be anything but pure from this. And to be honest, folks, Saban from the get-go, when NIL started, warned that all this stuff was going to happen. And people were making the arguments then that they're, you know, saying now of, you just don't want a level playing field. You want to have a leg up on other people. But everything he said was going to happen is now happening with NIL. It's a pay-for-play. It's a mess. And now, you know, you look back and Saban has been vindicated through all that he said however many years ago before NIL came into place. So, obviously, he knows college football. He understands college football. So hopefully he can see a way forward. But also, he's been in it, so he knows, you know, tangible and realistic things that he could do to try to fix it. So, you know, who knows? Maybe Saban just needs to become the commissioner of college football, or somebody needs to become the commissioner of college football, because the NCAA is not being able to lead on this. The NCAA is not a competent and, you know, worthy authority over college football. Somebody needs to do it. If we're going to accept this new world of NIL, then maybe college football needs to adapt the NFL system where they have a commissioner who dictates things from the top. Because, like I said, it's not going to be the NCAA. It needs to be a single person who has authority and have the college football be separate from the rest of the NCAA at this point, because college football is way, 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 way different than any other sport in the NCAA. Okay. College football should really have its own governing authority over things, because if we're going to make that, you can't rule college football the same way you make rules for every other sport. It's just not going to work, because college football has way more money in it. It's in a way different spot than these other schools or these other programs in the NCAA. So maybe we just need a commissioner for college football alone to dictate things. And maybe that needs to be Saban, maybe that, you know, somebody else. But bottom line is, I think that needs to happen too. That would be my fourth thing that I would say needs to happen. Make an authority or a governing body solely over college football and have the NCAA get out of it completely. The NCAA is going to fight tooth and nail over that because they're stupid and they think that they got it under control, but they don't. So put somebody else involved. Make somebody else come in and handle things. If the NCAA can't handle it, then put somebody in charge, a commissioner or some sort of governing body, solely over college football to help fix things. Because I think that's necessary at this point. It's not going to be done with the NCAA, because the NCAA, when they make rules, tries to make rules blanket cover over all sports. And we're just way past that point, folks. College football is way past that point. We got to have somebody who makes rules specifically for college football. So who knows? Maybe this thing's going to happen with this new commission on college sports that Trump has enacted and put Saban the co-chair of. But the bottom line is, like I said, I think this is a good first step to have some direct communication between Saban and Trump and other college football coaches. It gives a direct line of communication from the college world, college sports world, to Trump directly. So I think that's a great, great start. And hopefully those four things that I said could get enacted by Trump, whether by executive order or Congress to do something bipartisan. I think it needs to be done. And if we're going to save the sport of college football that we all know and love, I think stuff like this needs to start happening and start happening fast. So this is a good sign to begin with, I would say. But appreciate you watching, folks. If you please like and subscribe down below, let me know what you thought on this video. If you want to check out our other stuff here at Right Side Media, please click on our channel. And like I said, please subscribe so that you can be notified whenever we post another video and you won't miss out on anything, whether it's JP on sports or any content at all. So greatly appreciate that. Same time, same channel next week. I'll see you guys then.